Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And not necessarily Scoot today. Todd Manessis filling in for Scoot. He'll be back with you tomorrow. You heard the numbers, 504-260-1870 is the number to call, or you can text at 870-870. And got a couple of good things on the show for you today. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, do you have a problem with illegal immigrants living in public houses? Or should that be citizens only? We'll talk about that. Dr. Ben Carson, the HUD secretary, faced criticism from Democrats on Capitol Hill about their plans to try to stop that and crack down on the law. And we'll get into all of that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Next hour, you know, we keep having this debate, it seems, every couple of years. When are you an adult? At 18 or 21? Because we have such conflicting rules about what you can do at 18, and then you have to wait till 21, but you can do this at 18, but you can't do this at 21. So we're going to talk about that. Should everything be the same age, either 18 or 21? And when I say everything, I mean everything. We'll get into that in the next hour. In this hour, sad to say, it's another day, another car break-in. Does that describe your neighborhood? Do you go to sleep at night hoping your car is not broken into when you wake up? It's happening all over the region. Is it happening in your neighborhood? They're getting more and more aggressive when it comes to breaking in cars, and mostly it's these gangs of juvenile thugs that are doing this. Monday, in broad daylight, New Orleans East, a woman says she had her car broken into and burglarized. We've seen a lot of other people have their cars broken into. On the line with us now, do we have him? Nope. Okay. We still trying to get a hold of Bradley King. He's a Broadmoor homeowner. His car was targeted several times. He was on with Newell last week, and we kind of didn't get to finish his story, so we're going to let him finish his story and talk about that. But I want to ask you, and that's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you go to sleep at night hoping your car's not broken into when you wake up? Because a lot of people have that concern. You can log on at WWL.com and cast your vote. Right now, let's see if it's looking. No, the poll's not giving me the results. It was 50-50 the last time that I checked for the poll. So depending on where you are. And as I say, it's happening everywhere. I've mentioned this before. There was a group of little, you know, juvenile thugs going around Mandeville and broke into my car. Didn't break the window. I found out later that my driver's side door, the automatic lock, was not working. Since have gotten that fixed. And, you know, I thought, you know, you click the little button, beeps, you think the door's locked. I heard them lock, but what was locking was the back and passenger doors, not the driver's door. So I've got that fixed since then. And, you know, I still now, every time I lock it, I check to make sure it's locked. But they didn't get anything to steal. They just went through my glove compartment and stuff and just made it a nuisance. But they did hit a bunch of houses in our neighborhood, and they did get some things from some other cars, guns, a couple of other weapons. They got some money, all sorts of things that people leave in their cars in front of their houses. So the question is, every night where you live, are you concerned that you could face one of these car break-ins? Now, they've gotten to where it used to be they just pulled on the handle to see if cars were unlocked and to try to get whatever they could out of it and run. Now they're breaking windows. Now they're actually breaking into the cars by smashing the windows and getting into the vehicles, taking what they can and running out. In fact, it's gotten so bad that one person said she had four others and had their car windows smashed while she was at work at a clinic off Lake Forest Boulevard. She had a designer bag stolen with her makeup inside. So unlike the typical break-ins, a lot of these burglars will ditch the unwanted items from previous cars and dump them in the next one. So they're just looking for the stuff that they want. And if it's fine stuff that they think is valuable, they'll take it, break into another car, find something else they think is more valuable, leave the stuff from the other car in that car, and move on. So, you know, how do you stop this? And what are you doing in your neighborhood, and what are you seeing, and what are you hearing from your neighbors? 504-260-1870 is our number to call. Or you can text us at 870-870. We'll go ahead and take a break right here. When we get back, we'll get in touch with Bradley King. He'll tell us about his experiences in the Broadmoor neighborhood. What's going on in your neighborhood where you live, in your community? Has this become a problem for you? Have you had a friend that has had their car broken into? No matter where they are. Like we said, now they're doing it during the day. They're not waiting till night. I'm Todd Meneses in for Scoot. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Getting a lot of texts at 870-870. Someone says, my son just told me that four cars were hit in the Brother Martin parking lot. Windows broken. This is getting ridiculous. Someone else said, Todd, I'm just hoping that some poor citizen doesn't wind up in jail for shooting one of these cowardly punks. And someone else says, Todd, I hate to say it, but someone with kahunas may take it upon themselves to go out as a vigilante and start taking care of these punks, a.k.a. Charles Bronson. Hope that doesn't happen. Let's get to our phones. To our guest, Bradley King is joining us. Bradley, thank you so much. Sorry it took us a while to get to you. We had a number transposed on the phone number, and that's my fault because I wrote it down wrong.
Totally okay, man. What's going on today?
Well, I also want to apologize to the guy we kept calling who kept saying, I'm not Bradley King. So.
Oh, geez.
I don't know where he's at, but he's probably in Baton Rouge somewhere. Bradley, could you tell us a little bit about what has happened to you and what you've experienced in the Broadmoor district?
So I bought my house December of 2016. So, you know, I'm in my, you know, second and a half year of ownership or so. And I'm one of the only people on my street that actually has a working automatic gate. I mean, most people have driveways, but they don't have gates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that definitely gives you a false sense of security because my next door neighbor has a working automatic gate, too. And you can see from the video that my system had, you know, just how easily they were able to hop hers. I mean, it was not a deterrent. And it has definitely gotten worse. The first year that I lived in Broadmoor, you know, and I'm on the next door app, I would see these kids come down the street and they looked like younger kids. They weren't necessarily mobile. They weren't necessarily, you know, armed yet. And I feel like there's two classes of juveniles right now. There's the ones that are like, you know, maybe like 12 to 15 or 16 and they're on foot and they're just doing the car door handle pulling, you know, yeah. They're opportunistic, but they're not really, the gun hasn't been put in the hand yet. And then you've got necessarily, but so like the graduation upwards. And that's, you know, the element that I was dealing with the other night. And that's mm-hmm. the element that took this poor lady's life because she confronted a different group of them 2 days later.
Yeah.
And I've called the cops a few times. They come out, they never seem very fazed and they don't really feel like much is being done. And I mean, that was why I called the news because I was so frustrated when the detective looked at he looked at my security footage and recognized the kid. I was like, how can you just, you immediately know who this is and he's free to just do this, to just continue terrorizing us.
Yeah, we've had the police chief on. We've had the DA on talking about plans for juvenile crime. Tomorrow, Newell's going to have someone, a retired juvenile judge, to talk about how it works through their system. So I think everyone is now finally looking at juvenile crime more seriously, but that doesn't help homeowners like you that are getting your cars broken into.
Right. And, you know, it was just crazy because I think when they quoted me on the news, I was like, I mean, what's it going to take? Is somebody going to have to be killed? And then this poor lady was killed 2 days later.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so we've got an all morning long press conference this Wednesday. Is something going to be done? But then what happens is, you know, it ramps up for a minute and then it just gets shoved under the rug again. And I also don't want to be, you know, you guys keep calling me to get on the radio and on TV and everything. I don't really want to be the poster child of
right.
this because I don't
understood.
Want to target on my head specifically. But I'm in a rock and a hard place because it's happening all over the city. And it really does feel like it's, I mean, I know that, you know, if you're 5 to 105, you can commit a crime, but it really does feel like it's these kids between the ages of like 16 and 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's, the detective is like, dude, we're in a hard spot here, because the way the juvenile court handles this is, and they want to make their numbers look better too, because, you know, the incarceration rates have made national news of juveniles in New Orleans. And so it's, I get that to an extent, but, you know, there's a difference between, you know, nonviolent and violent, first of all, and like, we want to rehabilitate, but we also have to keep the citizens of this city safe. And that's just where, I mean, there's got to be a line that's drawn, and I guess we need more funding, you know. Have you looked at the, you know, I was looking at some numbers in the last, like, basically right around Katrina, we were picking up, or the city was picking up kids for truancy. They were picking them up for, you know, curfew violations. That is completely gone.
Yeah, and that's one of the plans that they want to institute again, and the chief has brought that up, and so has the mayor, and I think they're gonna institute that as the summer months come and try to do that. And they've got a couple of places that have agreed to take the kids that aren't violent. The ones that are violent are going to go to jail. What they were doing before, though, is they would pick them up and they would bring them to their parents' house. Right. Well, there's no guarantee that they're going to go into the parents' house and not go back out again.
Right, you know? Exactly.
So this way they're taking them somewhere where they can be safe and stay until they can contact the parents to come and get them.
Right.
So that's one, I mean, yeah, that's one change.
It takes money, you know? I mean, it takes money, but this is a problem. And it's, and, you know, I'm such a New Orleans, I love New Orleans so much, and I've lived all over the country my entire life. And, you know, I'm always trying to tell people, hey, move to New Orleans, hey, come visit New Orleans. Then my friends that I'm advocating for the city, and my friends see this on Facebook and they're like, Brad, is it really that bad down there? And I'm like, I want to say no, but right now it is that bad. I mean,
And we got, you know, and I got people texting that saying, you just lock your stuff up and you're exaggerating. It's not that bad. But as you said, you have a gate that closes and locks, automatic gate. Your car's locked. You've got cameras.
Right.
You would think you've got everything that would be keep your house safe.
It's not about the yes. And it's and honestly, it's absolutely to me not about what they took out of my car. It's about the fact that they're on my property armed.
Yes.
You know, and I'm actually the kind of person, I'm a decently confrontational person, and I'm so lucky that I was sweeping, because I know my knee-jerk response, and now I'm like I'm armed with all this extra information now, and I saw what happened to the lady 2 days later. I feel like I probably now can draw the line. It's just property, stay inside, call the police. But I think that particular night, had I seen them out there, I would have gone out there.
Right.
And you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So, no, it's not about the $200 worth of stuff. I actually started, like, so I had my BMW in the driveway because I had just purchased a new car. And I got into the habit of just not leaving anything valuable and leaving the doors unlocked. Because then if they break your window, then you got to deal with that as well. So, that's a defeatist attitude. But we shouldn't have to think about any of that stuff. You know, I mean, obviously, isolated crime is going to happen. But it's running rampant right now.
I think your reaction is normal, and I think what you said is key there, Brad. The average person, if you looked out your window at night at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you see somebody, it looks like a kid, trying to get in your car, a lot of adults would open the door and yell, hey, what are you doing?
Yep.
But now these kids are armed, so it makes it even more dangerous.
Right. And you just don't know. And I mean, I'm a big guy. I feel confident being able to physically, you know, hold my own and defend my property. But the thing is that, you know, I'm not going outside with a gun to engage in some sort of a back and forth gun battle. And I just the best thing to do, everybody needs to hear this, do not confront them. It's just stuff. And let's just please pray that and just hope that the city does something. And I mean, I need to know more of what I can do. Like, I mean, I was on the news and now I'm on the radio with you. I would organize something and try to bring more attention to it, you know.
Well, I think you're doing that, Brad. And, you know, I'm getting some texts from some people that are saying there's juvenile crime in other cities. It's not just New Orleans. And I opened it up with saying that. It's not just in New Orleans. It happened to me in Mandeville. There's a big problem with it in Orlando. There's also a big problem in some other cities in the South and also in the North as well. I mean, it's everywhere. And especially when you get into the summer months. a lot of these kids don't have anything to do, and it escalates around the country, and you see it.
Right. And that's scary. And no, I'm not saying either that it's just New Orleans. And a lot of people think, you know, moving into Jefferson Parish, that they're safer there. I mean, statistically, yeah, I looked at the stats. They are statistically a little safer, but you're not safe anywhere. I mean,
yeah.
So I'm not trying to just, you know, put the finger just in New Orleans' face, but
exactly.
It is really bad right here, right now.
It is. So. Well, Brad, I appreciate you coming on and telling us your story again. And I know you don't want to be the poster child for this, but if you want to, I'm sure there are a lot of people that would like to join you, and if you wanted to start something, I'm getting texts that saying whatever we could do, let us know, and you could probably start some citizens' movement.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys reaching out again, and you know, hopefully we can all look back on this 6 months from now and feel a little better about the whole situation.
Hopefully, too. Bradley King, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good day. We'll take our local CBS News break coming up next, and our local news break. Then we get back to some of your calls. Jay and Steven, hold on. We'll get to you. I got some more text as well about this happening in other places. And many are saying the problem is the parents and the whole system. We'll get into all of that when we come back here on WWL. And welcome back. You heard the numbers 504-260-1870. Got a line open for you. Jay and Steven, hang on and get to you as well. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you go to sleep at night hoping your car is not broken into when you wake up? Those of you voting online at WWL.com, right now, 77% of you say no. 23% say yes. And I want to get to some of the texts that we've got here. Let's see. Some of the texts that are coming through says, why not reinstall truancy and charge the parents or guardian a $50 fine for first-time offenders and $100 for repeat offenders? Make the parents accountable. Someone else says these criminals should be considered terrorists and killed by the police. No, I think that's going a little too far. Another one says the root cause, the killing them, I mean, they are criminals. The root cause of juvenile crime is parental failure. Until this factor is addressed, nothing will change. A statistic that is political suicide to bring up is fatherless homes. Our so-called leaders refuse to bring this up because it will anger their voter base. Canizero is correct. Hold the parents responsible, and only then will change happen. And I think the reason most people don't want to bring that up, because I know a lot of single mothers that have raised good kids. So you can't kind of lump everybody together. Yes, it is a problem. And it happens across the community spectrum. But there are single mothers that raise kids that come out fine, and there are some that don't. So you can't just kind of lump them all together and say that's the main issue. It's a part. It's not the main issue, in my opinion. Let's see here. Someone else says, some thug broke into my neighbor's truck. They stole two pairs of his work boots. SWAT teams need to come to the city on Fridays and Saturdays. Again, another text. Breaking into a car is a violent crime against property. Homeowners should be armed and trained to use them. I see no problem with shooting them. Someone else says, get a dog. Someone else says, get lots of big dogs. All right, let's go to who's been holding the longest. Jay in Slidell. Hey, Jay, thanks for calling WWL.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
I do think that, you know, the welfare system and having fatherless children plays a big part in this. And that's a long-term problem that we've got to address. I think short-term, we've got to make a distinction between juvenile delinquency and violent juvenile tendency.
Right.
And once you involve a gun in a crime, I think there should be a different standard of justice applied to you.
Yes.
And I think we've got to go to our lawmakers at the state level and say, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, if you've picked up a gun, you know, and I mean, within reason. I mean, of course, a 6-year-old accidentally finding a gun and shooting himself or a sibling is different than, you know, how old are these kids? 10, 12 years old. Some of them that have guns out there now,
yeah.
You know, going door to door. If you're using a gun in the commission of a crime, just like an adult, you know, you should have a different standard of justice applied. And from what I understand, a lot of these kids aren't even afraid of a way to go into the juvenile detention centers. And we need to change that, too, to where, you know, especially these kids that have done stuff with guns are kept, you know, by themselves and only given educational material to occupy their time. You know, don't let them watch TV or whatever. You know, just when you've done this, you need to show us that you're going to change your life and apply something to become a productive citizen. Otherwise, you can just sit in there for a while, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, there should be an effort to rehabilitate the kids that are in the system, that go through the system, and not just lock them up and release them out, because you're not making any progress there. I think most people agree with that. I agree with that. Some kids you're not going to reach. Some kids you're not going to scare straight, and we know this.
Absolutely.
And that's the ones that they need to identify and keep an eye on. Because the way the court system goes, and look, I think if you use a gun, and we're going to talk about this next hour, what designates being an adult. But I think if you use a gun in the act of a crime, if you're, you know, anywhere between 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know what you're doing. You know,
exactly. You know
why you want the gun.
Accordingly.
You know what you're trying to get. This isn't a kid stealing a candy bar from a grocery store.
Right.
Or the corner store. This is a kid with a gun intent on doing a crime. Why do you take the gun out? Why do you take it with you in the first place? You have an intent to use it, right? And I know some kids say they need it for protection from other bad kids. That may be possible. But again, if it's in the scene, the gun is there, chances are something bad is going to happen. And we've got to stop that. We've got to get to them there. And yes, it starts with the parents, and I'm getting a lot of text about that, and I understand that. And yes, the whole welfare, this is a big, long problem that has to be resolved. And there's not one silver bullet that's going to cure everything. And yes, I know the irony in saying silver bullet. There's no one thing, one magical thing that will cure all of this. It's going to take a combination of a bunch of things. But we've got to start somewhere. We can't just keep wringing our hands about it and saying, oh, it's because of this. Oh, it's because of that. It's all of it combined. And until we get a comprehensive plan to address it all from the top on down, you're going to always have these sorts of problems. Todd Manessa's in for Scoot. We'll take a break and be right back. Get to some more of your text and some more of your calls. If you got a line open, I mean, I have one line open. If you got on there, if you're on the line, hold on. I will get to all of your calls before the top of the hour. Todd Manessa's in for Scoot. You're listening to WWL. And welcome back. Todd Manessa's in for Scoot. Let's get back to the phones to the lightning round. Get as many people as we can. Stephen in the Marigny. Hey, Stephen, thanks for calling WWL.
Hey, I mean, it's the police, too. I had a car stolen in front of my house. My neighbor saw it. It was a tow truck, backed up, picked the car up. He got the license plate and the name on the thing, on the truck. It took 4 days for me to get the police to fill out a form, and then I had to go to the police station to do it. They were supposed to come out. Well, in the meantime, my neighbor comes over to me because he wanted to buy the car from me, and I kept telling him no. And he said, well, you sold it to this guy. And I said, oh, no, I didn't. And I lived just off of St. Claude, and just at that moment, the guy with the tow truck drives down St. Claude Avenue. So we jumped in my neighbor's truck and followed him a distance away to his house.
So just to make sure, Stephen, before we go any further, your car wasn't repossessed or wasn't towed by the city or anything like that? Okay, go ahead.
No. So we go down to where his house is. So we get the address. So when we fill out the police report, I tell the lieutenant that's filling out the police, would you red flag this? So it just doesn't get put in a pile. And so he said, okay. So he scribbled red on the top of the thing. And so I waited a week and called. And I explained the story to the lady that answered the phone. And she said, well, if you know who stole your car, why don't you go knock on his door and ask him for your car back? Well, of course, you know, a man that steals cars is going to have a gun in his front seat or at his front door. So I waited another week and left a message, never got a call back, waited another week, called again, went through the same story. You need to go knock on the man's door and get your car back. So finally, I got somebody to call me, and he said, well, I live in Chalmette, and that's on my way home, so I will drive by and see what I see. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are professional tow truck drivers, and I'm not saying all of them are bad, but there's a few of them out there that are roaming the streets looking for cars.
Yeah.
And the police doesn't do anything. I mean, here we had a license plate, we had the name on the truck, we had where they lived, where they took their cars, and nothing was done.
How long ago was this, Stephen?
This was a little over 2 years ago, I guess.
Okay, so nothing's come of it since?
Nothing's come of it since, and I know the car is a new car by now. It's been crushed or something or parted out. But I mean, that's the police department. I gave them everything they needed.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2 years ago was a whole different police department. I don't know what's going on now, and I don't know how things will be working.
Well, but
now,
I'm sure but I know. It's the same director of the department, and it's the same lieutenants
not necessarily. They've had a lot of people change, Stephen. But again, I'm sorry about that happening. But yeah, you know, they try to respond to everything they can, and I'm not trying to take up for the NOPD, but in the grand scheme of things, investigating a murder is going to be ahead of investigating a stolen car. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes for priority reasons. Let's go to Glenn and Gonzalez. Hey, Glenn, what you calling from?
Hey, buddy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. What you got?
You know, the thing about it is, though, is that with these kids and all that, like I was telling the guy that answered the phone, where's Al Sharpton and all the 100 men and all these other organizations that supposedly mentor to young black guys? What's it going to take? Somebody get killed, and then they're all going to be out there ranting and raving about this juvenile being killed, and where were they at before? You know, I mean, I know they got organizations in New Orleans that cater to these young guys that try to help them. Mm-hmm. But where are they at before it happened?
They're trying to help the people. They don't show up. You know, that's the big misconception, Glenn. They don't show up for every murder there is, because if that would happen, same thing if there were advocates for white people or Asian people, or every time someone is killed, they would be all over the place. You know how big the country is? It's only when they see what they deem to be an injustice that has happened that they show up, okay? And again, I hate the person to take up for Al Sharpton, but that's what I'm going to tell you. They're not going to show up for everything and everything that happens, and I know people think that they will, but they don't. It's just the way it is. And yes, there are programs to try to help young black men, young white men, young anyone, poor, whatever, to try to get where they need to get or to mentor them. There are mentoring programs out there. The question is, are they taking advantage of it? How do you get them into those programs? They have to want to be in the program, and they have to want to get into the program and then do good once they're in it. And I have friends that came from, if you want to say broken homes, came from the projects, and are successful businessmen because they got into those programs and had someone mentor them to get to that location. All right, Glenn, I thank you for the call. We'll take a break and be right back. It's Todd in for Scoot on WWL. All right, had a texter that said, if you're talking about all these programs, I'd like to hear it since you're saying it. Well, I've got the list if you want. I can list you some of them. Let's see, 100 Black Men provides counseling for youth in America, ACE Mentorship, Boys and Girls Club, Big Class, the Butterfly Movement, Catholic Charities, Communities in School, Each One Save One, let's see here, NOLA for Life, the Orchid Society, Son of a Saint. I mean, I could keep going. There's a whole list of them if you want to look them up. They're on a website called 504ward.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.